good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for 30 years now in this part of the world, and that's with great appreciation and thanks from my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving all of Southwest Florida. And then our friends up at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then our friends up at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. And what a joy it is just to come together to sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. Well, if you've been with us, you know that we're going through a Portrait of God, which is my annual series here. I mean, I'm always talking about portraits of God out of His Scripture to really get to know His heart, to know His character. And the one that we're looking at right now is how He is our prayer focus. He is our prayer focus. That is the portrait of God we are zeroing in on, and it's actually a six-week series. Normally I do three, but this one has 20 takeaways because our prayer lives are paramount in getting to know the heart of God, because He indeed is our prayer focus. So if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to make your way over to Matthew chapter 5 as we pick up our list of 20 and number 7. And as you're making your way there to Matthew 5, which is going to be the model Lord's Prayer that we have there, just a quick reminder that all of these messages are archived on my website at markpg.org. That's markpg.org. And along with these 27-minute radio broadcasts, you'll also see a box that has a link to my videos, three-minute videos, devotional videos on portraits of God. You'll also see a box that has articles or quick guides on various topics, lots of topics. All of them are designed to help you hear God. Oh, that's my heart and that's my passion. And so that's exactly what we're going to do today. And so as we continue our journey through this mini-series within a series on how the Lord is our prayer focus, let's go before the Lord, as is our custom, and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I am so grateful that You have given me the privilege all of these years just to come together with my brothers and sisters to sit at Your feet and do the best I can to share the things I am learning in You. And Lord, seeing You as our prayer focus is a game changer for our prayer life, because, Lord, it's not our heart to just want to get You to do something for us, focusing on Your hands. Lord, we want to focus on Your face. We want to focus on Your heart. Get to know You, the real You, so that we will be able to hear Your whispers and know that they're Yours and not the enemy's. So thank You, Lord, for the privilege of coming together to sit at Your feet, to let You speak to the ears of our heart, Lord. May we receive Your wisdom, Your truths, deep within our spirits. Oh, we ask for nothing more, nothing less than that very thing. So thank You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, my friend, as this is being broadcast over Easter weekend, it's so appropriate for us to be looking deeply at the heart of God and seeing Him as our prayer focus. And just briefly, let me give you the first six before we continue to number 7, 8, and 9 today in our list of 20 takeaways about how He is our prayer focus. If you're a note taker, you'll want to jot this down or check your notes if you've been turning in. So number one was that we're to pray in our inner room. The Lord, our prayer focus, yearns for us to pray in our inner room. Matthew 6 says, "But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Oh, my friend, cultivate a special place or several places where you can have uninterrupted time with your Heavenly Father who is your prayer focus. Number two, Pray with grateful praise. Pray with grateful praise. Oh, the Lord yearns for us to do that. Matthew 6:9 says, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. If you know the Lord's Prayer, or the model Lord's Prayer, as many call it, that's the opening line. Hallowed, holy, worthy be your name, O Lord. And we talked about four different hearts and types of worship, majestic and intimate and celebrative, and then that broken spirit of worship where the Lord is our healer. Wow. Marvelous. Marvelous depth there. Well, the model Lord Prayer goes on to number 3, where we take this takeaway is to pray with humble deference. Matthew 6:10, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not about us. It's not about our will. It's about His, and that is humble deference to the Lord and His plan for us and all of mankind. Number 4 is to pray with daily dependence. Pray with daily dependence. Matthew 6:11, where the model Lord's Prayer says, Give us this day our daily bread. And we looked at the story of how God provided daily manna and wanted them to go out every day, except the sixth day when He said He'd get double portion because He wanted them to rest on the Sabbath day, the seventh day, as you might expect. But if they tried to hoard it on those other days, it would spoil overnight. It's a marvelous principle that the Lord wants us to daily be in dependence upon Him, not just Sundays or not just one day a week, but each day, humbly coming to pray with daily dependence. Number 5 was to pray with reflexive forgiveness. Pray with reflexive forgiveness. Matthew 6:12, Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Oh, my friend, when people offend you or you're feeling offended by someone, be an instant, reflexive forgiver. Because to forgive is to set the captive free and discover you are the captive. That's right. You fall into the gall of bitterness, an enemy's trap, if you don't forgive others from your heart. So if you're feeling offended, go ahead and start forgiving them. Cultivate a heart of forgiveness toward them, my friend. And then 6, pray with protective deliverance. That's Matthew 6:13. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Oh, my friends, the enemy is trying to seduce us. He's trying to fool us. He's trying to draw us into his web of lies. He's a deceiver. And we also looked at 2 Corinthians 10. It says that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, because the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses or strongholds. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ. Be careful with those stray thoughts, because you'll weave them together to form a lofty thing raised against the knowledge of God, a speculation that is not accurately reflective of the Lord, and it turns into a fortress or a stronghold in your heart. You get blinded to that, and the enemy has you in the snare of the devil. Pray with protective deliverance, Lord. Deliver us, Lord. Deliver us, O Lord. Well, now we come to 7 as we leave the Lord's Prayer now, and we go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, where Jesus says something extraordinary. In Matthew 5:44, He says, But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Wow. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you? Absolutely. Here's the takeaway from 7 in our list of 20. That is that the Lord, our prayer focus, yearns for us to pray for our enemies. Pray for our enemies. So let's talk about this. You know, yes, there are those rare occasions when people are intentionally out to get you. We live in an evil war zone all over the world, and some places are hotter than others. I was just talking with a friend of mine who's a missionary with Wycliffe, and he goes about a couple of times a year to one of the nations of Africa, talking about how the last time he was there, they had a problem with bandits, gangs, coming in 100 motorcycles with 3 men on each, all fully armed, coming into villages and just decimating the place and kidnapping people. There are enemies out there. all over the world. We're fortunate here in the United States that we don't have anything nearly that pervasive. We do have instances of violence and crime and stuff, which is a tragedy. We do want to pray for the enemies out there, people that are so wounded, so hurt, so caught up in the snare of the devil that they're doing horrible things. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for them. Most often, however, we are impacted not by people like that, but by fellow wounded people like we are. I love a book called The Ragamuffin Gospel. I think it's by Brennan Manning, and he talks about how we're all ragamuffins. We are all in need of grace upon grace, of healing from the Lord, of salvation. We all have that part of us that is struggling and wounded people will wound people, and we can feel that they're our enemies if they're giving us grief or saying things about us and all. Well, pray for them. Pray for those wounded ragamuffins, my friend. Brant Hansen has written a wonderful book all about us, the very good news of how very bad we are. We're basically, it's his way of expressing how we're all ragamuffins in need of a Savior who deals with us with grace upon grace. Another book of his called Unoffendable says, don't get offended. You know, it's only God's, the only one who gets to be angry at people. You know, we don't. I hope you read books like that, my friends, and learn what it is to cultivate the ability to reflexively forgive these people, as we said in number 5, but also here in number 7, to pray for your perceived enemies and those actual enemies that are out there. I'm heartbroken to see how broken people are to the point they'll go into schools and kill children with automatic weapons. It's happened recently. It's happened, I think, once a week since the beginning of the year. There's been some kind of shooting. Our world is in serious trouble. The enemy is having a heyday. We need to pray against the enemy who is disorienting and disrupting and seducing people so severely they do things like that. Pray for your enemies. Pray against the enemy, my friend. That is supernatural warfare prayer. Now we come to number 8, and we find this over in Matthew chapter 21. It seems like Matthew's giving us a lot here at the very beginning of our journey through the scriptures. Matthew 21, verse 13. This is when Jesus, after he was cleansing the temple, he said to them in Matthew 21, 13, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den. Oh, my friend, here's number 8. The Lord, our prayer focus, yearns for you to, number 8, pray in the house of God. Pray in the house of God. Now, let's remember that the church is not so much the building, it's the compilation of people that are there to worship and to pray. And sometimes we get so caught up in the music or hearing just the sermon that we don't have much time to pray. We need to introduce the DNA, the culture of prayer in our churches, so that all that we do, all the activities, all the worship, all of the preaching, all of the teaching, all of the outreach, all of the service, all of the evangelism is absolutely saturated in a spirit of prayer and this culture of prayer that you can create in the local church. Some of you will be going to Easter sunrise services this weekend. Wonderful. Others for the Easter celebration services at your church, your home church. And many will be visiting as well. They're coming to the house of God. I pray there'll be a wonderful season of prayer within that. I pray that your church is cultivating a heart to be a praying church. In fact, I'm going to really drill into this topic right now. I'm going to give you some ideas about how to cultivate a culture of prayer In the local church. And I'm taking this in collaboration with a very good friend of mine, Dr. Hayes Wicker, who actually is doing an extensive, detailed prayer seminar on this. And if you want to know more about that, just email me and I'll be happy to tell you more information about that. But he, for our group of pastors we gathered about, I think it was last summer, I asked him to do this and share this for us. And so we collaborated, and a lot of the things he was teaching, I just kind of digested into a handout that has characteristics of a prayer culture and practical tools for a prayer culture based on the things that he was sharing. So I'm just going to give you a quick peek at it just to give you an idea to jot this down. For example, when he was talking about characteristics of a prayer culture, he had 8 prayer factors. These are fascinating. 8 prayer factors that help you cultivate a prayer culture in the local church. Number one, pastor is primary model. The pastor is the primary model. Pastor, be a model of what it is to be a reflexive prayer warrior, one who practices pastoral prayer regularly. It starts from the top down. Number two, staff also models prayer. Cultivate that in your staff and in your staff meetings so that they too, when they have meetings, when they're with people, they just are constantly praying before, after, during those things, reflexively, conversationally. Which brings me to number three, prayer is a lifestyle. It should be laced in our everyday walk and practice, as normal as breathing in and breathing out. Number four, prayer is reflexive. Seek every opportunity, my friends, that when you sense the leading of the Lord to pray either privately or with someone, reflexively do that. It doesn't have to be ornate, doesn't have to be long, could be a 30-second prayer, even less, but it's something that just acknowledges that the Lord is whispering and we're answering back. Prayer is reflexive. Number five, prayer is vital in worship services. Make sure it has an honored, not just a automatic autopilot kind of prayer in your worship services. Number six, it's multifaceted. Prayer is multifaceted. It's prayer, it's supplication, it's thanksgiving, it's praise, it's confession. Oh, dig into all the layers of prayer. Number seven, it's private and daily. It's private and daily. I hope you cultivate that in your personal life, because if you do and you take it to the church at large, then all of you are practicing that which is familiar. And then number eight, it is supernatural, not emotional. Now, a little caveat here. It's okay to be emotional, but emotionalism is going over the top where you use emotion kind of as a tool of some kind. But if you cry when you pray, if you just break, that's a good thing. That means all of you is getting into this conversation with the Lord, and it's a supernatural interchange with Him. Of course, it might be expressed emotionally at times, but not to the point where it becomes a performance-based emotionalism that's designed to be manipulative. That's what we're saying here. So those are 8 key prayer factors. And then my friend Hayes, Dr. Wicker, he mentioned 6 roadblocks to prayer. These are fun and insightful. Listen to this. Unbelieving heart is one roadblock to prayer, an unbelieving heart. Unconfessed sin is the second. Unconfessed sin, something that's hidden there, can really hinder your prayer life. An unbridled tongue is number 3. An unbridled tongue. If you are gossiping about people, if your tongue is unguarded and anger comes out and that type of thing, it's gonna be a roadblock to an effective prayer life. Number 4 is an unloving spirit. It's pretty obvious how this would impact your prayer life. The Lord says to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. He wants you to discover that He loves you more than you can possibly imagine. And when your spirit begins to get this and becomes a loving spirit instead of an unloving spirit, oh, my friend, your prayer life comes alive. Then there are unclean motives. That's number 5. Unclean motives. You're trying to get something out of the Lord. You think you may be manipulating Him, putting Him into a corner, and that just doesn't happen. No unclean motives, my friends. And finally, unbroken pride. Pride comes before a fall. Pride is detestable unto the Lord, till we see ourselves as servants of the King, humbly praying for His will to be done, not ours. Oh, that really clears up the roadblocks to prayer. Isn't that wonderful? I just love that. Those are great insights. Let me give you just a few more about making your church a house of prayer. Make public prayers personal and pastoral. Make public prayers personal and pastoral. Here's how you can do it if you're a pastor. First of all, you should pray regularly in the worship service. Don't delegate it all the time. Be part of it. You're modeling what it is to be a man of prayer. And then you can use seasons of prayer in the worship service, where you dedicate a few minutes between songs or toward the end where people can actually pray together. In that time, you can, for example, gather in groups of three or four to pray together. You can pray for specific lost people. You can pray for folks seated by you, you know. And the way that you do this, you play some nice background music to help them go. You can offer the option to pray alone at the altar. That's another thing you can do. And then you give them a little bit 2-minute warning to wind down. Just say, in a couple of minutes, we'll be winding this down, my friends. And then it's all you say. And then you close it by, Pastor, you closing with prayer to end that season of prayer. Let me give you one more. Offering to pray for people as a lifestyle. We alluded to this earlier, but let me just camp on this a little bit. I call it pray evangelism. This is something that my friend Hayes Wicker and I totally agreed upon, and I've been doing this for decades, offering to pray for people, especially in restaurants where the server comes and they get our drink order and find out their name, and then they say, hey, Della, whatever her name is, or Mike or something. Hey, listen, we're going to be praying here in a couple of minutes. We love praying for people. Is there anything in particular we can pray for you about? I mean, like family, finances, health. So, you know, you'll be amazed that about 99% of the time people say, yeah, well, I would appreciate that, or some kind of a yes. I've only had like 3 people in all these decades who say, no, don't pray for me. People appreciate that. And it's a gentle reminder that God loves them more than they can possibly imagine. You've just pointed them up to the Lord. And then you might be very, very carefully listening to the whispers of God, who might say, you know what? In this case, go ahead and pray for them right now. And right there in the restaurant, just take a little 20-second prayer to pray a blessing over them. Lord, thank you for Della, or thank you for Mike. Lord, may they realize that you love them more than they can imagine. And whatever need they have, you are there for them. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And after that, at the end, when you give them a generous tip, you can leave a prayer card or your business card or your church card and email address. Hey, if there are any more things we can pray about, let us know. And you're planting seeds through prayer and pointing people up. Way up to the Lord. We do it out there in restaurants. We do it in the house of God. We are to pray and be a people of prayer, and His house shall be called a house of prayer. And by cultivating a lifestyle of prayer wherever you are, you bring it to the house of God and contribute to that. Corporate prayer together. Powerful. So powerful. So as we're winding this down today, let me give you number 9 about how to continually cultivate a heart of prayer in the Lord. And that's, here it is, number 9, how the Lord, our prayer focus, yearns for us to pray in the early morning. Pray in the early morning. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says this: in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Wow. If Jesus felt the need to do this, if Jesus was so blessed to do this, so will we be blessed to cultivate praying in the early morning. One of the things I love to do is what I call a Starfield prayer walk. Where I live, out near my house, we have a trail that goes off into the kind of the woods a little bit. And I love going out there because there's a clearing in the woods where you can see the starlit sky if it's before dawn. And I love seeing all of the stars out there and the moon sometime and the crescent moon and stuff. And it, the star field prayer walk reminds me of the enormity of God and how he's got the whole world in his hands. And he certainly got you and me, brother, you and me, sister, in his hands. He can handle whatever we have. And whatever struggles I'm going through, whatever frustrations I have, whatever ragamuffins I'm dealing with or wounded folks that are giving me some grief, I lift up everything and everyone to the Lord. Lord, this is yours. They are yours. That is yours. You got this. You got this. You got this. You can handle it. You've got the entire universe in your hands. You can certainly handle my life problems. And it helps put things in perspective. I think that's one of the reasons why the Lord modeled for us praying in the early morning while it was still dark. And it doesn't have to be every day, but some days when you're particularly struggling, oh, I have found my starfield prayer walks early in the morning before sunrise are gold. Well, Lord, thank you for being our prayer focus. Lord, we recognize that prayer is not about making you do something or trying to corner you into something and demanding that you do something and whining and stuff, although you let us vent, that's fine. But you can handle it all, and you love to hear it all. And so, Lord, we want to continue cultivating a heart of prayer because you are indeed our prayer focus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, be sure to check out my website at markpg.org for more. Until next time, oh, fall in love with the Lord, your prayer focus.